Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Well, again, good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. To all the moms out there, what I'd like you to do, and I'm watching here, so I'd like to call out some of the words. So before I get started today, by the way, my name is Jay Armalee. I'm the senior pastor here. If you do not know, if you're just joining us, we welcome you. Of course, everything is online right now, and so you might be jumping in and have no idea who we are. We are Antioch Christian Ministries, located just outside of Essex, near the Dairy Freeze, which is currently not open either. What I'd like you to do real quick is I would like you to comment a word of one of the women moms. It could be your wife. It could be somebody that you look up to that's a woman. I'd like you to comment one word only, of what you admire about them. What is the word that comes to mind when you think of these women? You don't have to actually say the name or anything like that. Just say, you know, it could be strength. It could be, you know, patience. You know, whatever the word is. And I just want to look and see here. So as they start coming up, I'm going to call them out. We just got used to, you know, I feel like this is the season where everything changes constantly, and we just got used to preaching to a camera that was right in front of us, literally in our noses, and now the camera, we're starting to strategize to get ready for a homecoming when you guys all come back, and so we put the camera towards the back, so now I have to preach to something way out there, one object way out there, and so, all right, we got some words coming up. Grace, graceful. Sunshine, I like it. Kindness. Come on, let's get some more names up. You might be on YouTube. I don't have YouTube up right now. Wisdom, steadfast. Those are awesome words. Joy, love it, love it, love it. Those are great words. Patience. Awesome. Yeah, just keep them coming. Loving, that's fantastic. Wisdom comes to mind for me. Strength, perseverance, courageous, steadfast. You know, shout out to my mom today, Pastor Gary. Happy Mother's Day. You know, I think of you as somebody that, you know, couldn't order pizza on the phone when you got married. And I could have made a joke like, is that because they didn't have pizza back when? Anyway. sorry. I got two people laughing with me because there's only two people here. Well, three. So, yeah, you're not laughing. No, you're laughing at me, not with me. Pastor Gary, when you got married, you couldn't order pizza on the phone, but I look at what God's done in your life and the strength that you now have, and strength comes to mind because, you know, you birthed a ministry, you run a ministry in Africa. That's crazy to go from a woman that can't order pizza to doing all that you do, and that shows you what God can do in your life, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So we got strength and sacrifice. Man, a lot of great words popping up, so thank you for that, selfless, and you know, if you struggle with any of one of those words, take that in as a prophetic word over your life that you can receive that. All right, we are still doing the topic, even though it's Mother's Day. I'm going to tie kind of our topic in with Mother's Day, and it's strength and courage, looking out of Joshua. What I'd like you guys to do, our scripture that we've been focusing in on is Joshua and as well as Proverbs. So I'd like you to start in Proverbs with me. Flip over to Proverbs 4. Today, what I'm going to share comes out of, honestly, came out of a moment that I'll be vulnerable and be, you know, open. Came out of a moment right after my birthday. I had such a beautiful birthday. You know, very, I think right now one of the things that is neat is that we have to rethink and recreate everything. And so it was just beautiful on my birthday. You know, my kids didn't give me cards like normal, but my girls sang me a song. Caleb did write out a note for me. Krista wrote out a note. And then I had this beautiful thing, this drive-by birthday greeting. And it was led by the clown car, Pastor Rod's green clown car. And it was beautiful with balloons. It was just a really touching moment because I thought, man, people took time out of their day to come and do this. That was really touching. And it's interesting because I was just in awe the rest of the day. Just, it was such a beautiful moment. And in the morning when I got up the next day to do my devotions, it's interesting that when I got up, I had something hit me almost immediately when I sat down to do my devotions. And what I actually thought of in that moment was instead of remembering all the good things that happened, I actually thought in that moment about, and actually it was one or two people that came to mind about who did not say happy birthday to me. So, you know, it's funny, you can have over 100 people say happy birthday on social media, you can have this beautiful car parade and all that, but I thought, man, it is interesting that the one thing that comes to mind is somebody that necessarily did not say happy birthday. And I want to look at that today. I want to look at that with strength and courage and tie that into Mother's Day. So Proverbs 4 we've been looking at, and let's read it together if you have it. This is what we've been kind of diving into. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. My son or daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So how does this tie into strength and courage? Well, if you've been following us all along, you would understand that. But if you're just joining us today, one of the things we've been talking about is in this hour to have strength and courage, we have to guard our hearts and guard our minds. Our minds and our hearts are intimately connected. And so, you know, it is so important to stay courageous and full of strength by guarding our hearts. We've talked about gratefulness and thankfulness. We talked about prophecies and promises. And then we talked last week about testimonies and miracles and about keeping a remembrance, keeping the stones of remembrance. And so today I really want to look at another concept with protecting our heart, guarding our heart. Because in this hour, and by the way, I'm not trying to teach you this just for this hour that we're working in or living in. I want to teach this from a perspective of these are principles all the time they work. It's like gravity. Gravity doesn't stop working tomorrow. You know, it doesn't work today for a while and not tomorrow. It's not like the electricity in a third world country. These are principles that work all the time. And so if they're working now in this season, and if God wants us, and we'll flip over to Joshua in a minute, he says, be strong, courageous, and you will prosper. He wants us to prosper even in an hour like this. So super important. All right, let's actually turn to Joshua. Let's jump over there. It was Joshua. We'll start at chapter 1. Joshua 1, let's go to, we're going to start verse 2 today. Joshua 1, verse 2, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Excuse me. It says, "Now, therefore, arise." Somebody type in for me, arise. "Now, arise," excuse me, "go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel." So it says to arise. Arise. Somebody type in arise. Then it goes on. Let's jump verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage, for the people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and of very courageous, that you will observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the right, from the left to the right, the right or left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I'm telling you, man, God wants you to have good success. He wants you to be prosperous. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, it's interesting. After all the times of looking, I had never looked up the word dismayed. And I want to read that real quick. Interesting word, dismayed. The definition for dismayed is, dismayed means to be shattered, to be broken, to be abolished, to be discouraged, to be terrified. It means an agitation of the mind and a total loss of courage. I thought that was so interesting. An agitation of the mind and a total loss of courage. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Do not be agitated in your mind. For God is with you wherever you go." All right, so I share this story at the beginning. What does it have to do with anything we're talking about? I'm convinced of many things, but I'm convinced today of this one thing, that the devil's tactics are honestly the same they were 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago as they are today. He uses the same tactics. And I want you to turn to Genesis, and we're going to dive there for a bit. Because what he did on the day after my birthday is the same thing that he did in the garden. Here's an interesting thought for you. You know, sometimes we think we sin because we live in a fallen world. And that is true. We do. But did you know in heaven, Lucifer fell? He had a choice. Did you know in Genesis, in the perfect place, they had a choice? It only takes a choice and often another voice to cause us to sin. A choice and a voice is what causes us to sin. And the moment after my birthday, when I sat down, it took me about 2 minutes because I began to go on this rabbit trail of who did not wish me a happy birthday. You know, and I'm so embarrassed to say that because I think of it and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, lots of people on Facebook, lots of personal messages, got a couple cards, got a drive-by birthday, you know, honking and celebration. I got all these things. And I wake up the next morning thinking about who did not wish me a happy birthday. But again, I go back to it takes a choice and a voice. And in that moment, for 2 minutes, I began to make a choice to think upon those things. I began to listen to a voice that was not my own because that was not what I was thinking about. But a voice began to speak to me. You may say, well, what, did you hear an audible voice? No, it was a voice in my head, but it's not a voice that I would normally think of. I did not wake up wanting to think and look through who didn't, but this voice began to say, hey, who didn't wish you a happy birthday? And I began for 2 minutes to ponder that until I finally woke up, and we just read arise. I arose and I started to go, wait a minute, this is not my thoughts. I don't normally think like this. Why am I thinking about this? And so I want to touch on that because I'm convinced if we're going to be strong and courageous, we have to know who we are. Two important questions in your life. Who is God to you? Who is God and who are you to you? Who is God to you and who are you to you? And if we can't answer those questions, and if we struggle with those questions, we're going to struggle doing what we're called to do. We're going to struggle being strong and courageous. So let's look at Genesis. We're going to start. We love going to the garden in our church. It's one of the things that we look at. I'm also convinced of this. If you can't find it in the garden, and if you can't find it in the life of Jesus, we need to reshift and rethink. So we're going to talk about being strong and courageous. We're going to talk about being confident. And as women, I want you to know you have the freedom at Antioch to be powerful. You have the freedom to be confident. Pastor Rod, I walked in I was watching on my phone as I pulled into the parking lot or listening when I pulled into the parking lot. And you were breaking lies. I thought that's so, man, you guys were so bang on. Pastor Gary started about loving the Lord your God with all your heart. You know, the scripture that goes with that in Matthew says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I think we've not done a great job loving our neighbor as ourselves, and it's because we don't love ourselves. You know, I say, if we can't find it in the book of Genesis and you can't see it in the life of Jesus, there's something wrong. And here's what I'm convinced of. Did you know that Jesus didn't walk around with false humility? Do you know that Jesus didn't walk around going, oh, I'm so terrible. I need to be humble. I need to be, you know, the false humility is what we call humbleness. He didn't, you know, I'm so terrible. I'm just a worm. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know that Jesus did not walk around like that. And he was the model for us. And in the book of Genesis, you have Adam and Eve, and we're going to read it. That's not how they walked around at first. Genesis 2, we're going to start at verse 8. I want to point out a few things. It says, the Lord God planted a garden, and we studied this a couple months ago. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. I want you to be aware, this is an act of love. This was a God that went out and planted a garden and went, and you know, they opened up the garden centers yesterday, I think was the first day. And man, they were sold out by the time we got there because everybody wants to make a beautiful garden in their backyard. You know, we all want a place of refuge, and especially in this hour. And it says, out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow. Look at the words, that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. Did you get that? Every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. I need you to remember that. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, just for a second, I want you to kind of think a couple different thoughts with me. I want you to think about people instead of trees in this moment. A lot of times in the Bible, they'll talk about both trees and people, and it'll be a representation. There's a lot of things in the Bible where you have a cross representation. In this case, I want you to think of trees as people. And it says, out of the ground, the Lord God made every person grow that is pleasant to the sight and not good for food, because that doesn't work. But just think of it as they're blessed, they're good, they're prosperous. And then it says the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ, was also in the garden, and the knowledge of good and evil. And just for right now, I want you to think of that tree as really self-will. Really, it's the devil getting inside of us and beginning, or not inside, but beginning to speak to us. It's anything that is outside the will of God. And it goes on, and we're going to jump in verse 15. And it says, then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to tend and to keep it. We've talked about these words before. The word keep is shamar, and that word is guard. So right away, man is supposed to be guarding the garden. He's supposed to be protecting the garden. Because in a few minutes, we're going to see some blame. We're going to see some shifting here. But he's supposed to be protecting. He's supposed to be tilling the ground. We look at the word tend, means also to worship. And so we worship and we guard. We worship and we guard. Keep reading here. It says, then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Again, what a loving father that he looks on and he goes, you know what, man, I love my Adam. I love my son, but it's not good for him to be alone. And he goes through, and I don't think he was trying to actually pair him with an animal. He was simply creating the animals in the next couple lines. And Adam, how cool is it? We have dominion. Adam is naming the animals. The power that he had was incredible. And then he goes and he makes a wife for Adam. And all the men said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for our wives and our moms. I want you to look at verse 24 of chapter 2. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his mother, shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And I know this is an awkward scripture, but I want you to look at it. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I got done saying a few minutes ago, everything in Genesis and in we should see it in Genesis in the garden and with Jesus. For a minute, you know, we could think, of course, they were not wearing clothing, but that's not what it necessarily is referring to. Have you ever been completely exposed and not ashamed? It's a tough one. You know, if I were to stand up here and behind me was a screen of all my sin, my self-doubt, the things that I think in my mind about myself, about others, if it was all exposed in that moment, could I honestly say I would not be ashamed? Well, I can tell you, I would be. I don't always like the things that go through my head. I don't always like the thoughts that I have about myself. And therefore, we said, love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I have self-doubt and if I have self-hatred at times, sometimes that actually goes over to my neighbor. Because if I'm not liking who I am, why would I necessarily like who my neighbor is? And I've been listening lately, and one of the reasons, of course, because of the story I shared about after my birthday, but I've really been on a journey for the last 3-4 years to begin to say, Lord, I don't want to live under the curse of religion. Because religion, you know, is this navel-gazing, introspective, constantly looking at everything we do wrong instead of looking at everything that God is doing right. And as I've been listening to different ones, and especially moms right now, because moms are, for the first time, some of them are homeschooling. Some of them are doing things that they never, ever thought that they could do or definitely didn't want to do. You know, and I've had a few conversations with some moms that are so discouraged because they see on social media other people doing these elaborate crafts or elaborate exercises or outings, you know. And I remember when we homeschooled, I remember there were some homeschoolers that was their life. That's all that was their thing. For Chris and I, to be truthful, that was not our thing. That was obedience, plain and simple. Chris and I said, we will never homeschool. We said that. Well, that was our hardcore value. We will never homeschool. And I'll never forget the day that on a weekend, both of us in our prayer time felt Holy Spirit say, it's time to homeschool. And we were both dreading it. And I remember walking in one day and I looked at Krista and I said, Krista, I think we're supposed to homeschool. And I remember she went, oh my gosh, I got the same thing this weekend. It was not this rejoicing moment. It was like, oh my gosh. And I remember looking at these homeschooling moms and some of them dads that would do elaborate things. And I remember comparing myself, thinking how crummy we were as homeschooling parents. And I'm hearing that because social media, we didn't really have a whole lot. We had social media, but we didn't post everything on social media in that moment. But nowadays, you can see everybody's greatest moment. You can see everybody's talent shining through. And what happens is, if we don't have that talent, we begin to feel not unashamed, we begin to feel ashamed. We begin to feel like we're not capable. We begin to feel like my gift is not as good as this person's gift. We begin to compare, and this sets us up for a huge tragedy in our life. Because if we're going to be strong and courageous and powerful, if we're going to be people that bring the kingdom of God and see change, we have to be confident in who we are. And it doesn't mean confident in becoming everything and being good at everything. It means being confident and courageous and strong in what God's gifted us to be. Here's another thing, Pastor Rudd, I'm convinced of, is that the only way we see the fullness of Jesus in the body of Christ is if the body of Christ is all that they're called to be. I cannot represent Father, Son, and Holy Spirit fully. Pastor Rod cannot represent the three fully. But Pastor Rod and I together represent a little bit more of him. And when I throw Josh in the mix, we represent a little more. And if we one day, when we get the whole congregation back together, we see a little bit more of the representation of the Father. Because I don't carry all the gifts. Pastor Rod, as gifted as he is, and my Lord, you are gifted. I look at what you're doing, animation and woodworking. You're so gifted and caring and prophetic. Even with all those gifts, you don't carry all of it, do you? And so when we begin to look at other people, and we begin to see what we don't have, we begin to fall into what happens in Genesis 3. So in Genesis 3, we're going to look at that, and I want to give you something here I wrote down. My shame was over often who I am not, and I get discouraged, and it's also my discouragement. So my shame was over who I was, and my discouragement is often over who I'm not. Shame for who I am, going, oh my gosh, I don't like what I am. I don't like what I did. And then discouragement for looking around and what I'm not. And that's not what God. So we have this representation that they're made, they're born, they're beautiful. You know, they're running around. It says that they were completely naked or exposed or nothing was hidden and they weren't ashamed. They loved who they were. They loved where they were. They loved what they were called to do. They were called to take dominion. Chapter 3 then happens. Now listen, he's using the same tactics today that he did all these years ago. 6,000 years ago, same tactics. Now the serpent was more cunning. More cunning means more subtle. It actually means he was skilled at what he did. It's not like he was trying to throw things and go, let's see if this sticks. He studies you and he knows what your weaknesses are. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. Doesn't mean he is, but he walks around like one, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. Who can he find that maybe he can be subtle and cunning with? It says, now he was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want to go back to Proverbs because Proverbs talks about you need to lean into my sayings. You need to listen with your ear. You need to look with your eyes. You need to understand. And you're going to see here that this is the first mistake, in my opinion. Actually, it's the second mistake. First mistake is, what was Adam supposed to do? Guard the garden. Who's in there now? A serpent. So Adam did not guard like he was supposed to. Second mistake, he's going to say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Listen, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. It totally already begins to slant. We begin to see a misrepresentation. So if you don't know what God's spoken over your life, and the devil can subtly get in and begin to twist his words, this is how it begins to happen. This is how he takes subtle truth and twists it and manipulates it and begins to throw confusion in. It says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Did you know that they were already like God? They were created in the image of God. So he begins to tell them, there's something that you're not. That's called an orphan spirit. He begins to tell them, there's something that you're not, and you need to become something. Now listen, a little bit more. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Do you remember where we just read in Genesis 2? It said that all the trees were pleasant to the eyes and good for food. What does she get focused on? The one thing that she doesn't have. You know how often as people, as men, as women, we get focused on the one thing that we don't have? We get focused on the one gift we don't have? We focus on who we're not instead of who we are. We get focused on the two that caught my attention of who didn't say happy birthday instead of the 100 and something that did. You know, all of the trees were pleasant for food. All of the trees were pleasant to the eye, but she's getting caught on the one tree that she's not even supposed to have. So when they saw that it was good, desirable, she took of its fruit, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. And this is where we begin to go, well, as the woman. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So their fleshly eyes become opened. Instead of their spiritual eyes, they begin to go, oh my gosh, we're naked. We're totally exposed. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. They heard all the time. This was not new. This is called relationship. And he walked with them. And it says in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, they hid for the very first time. They hid from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat from? Then the men said, here we go. So we've got, they're now naked. They're now ashamed. They're now afraid. Now we have blame. Because he says, and the woman you gave me to be with, she gave me the tree and I ate. She gave of the tree and I ate. And then he goes on. Why am I saying all this? Because listen, church, we were never ever meant to look at other trees and desire what they have. Meaning, we are never meant to look at other people and desire who they are. Compare ourselves. If I compare myself to Rod, I will fall short every time. Why? Because I'm not Rod. I'm not Josh. These guys have gifts that I don't have. I'm not James. Thank goodness I don't go and fix planes. Thank goodness James does that and not me, because I'm not gifted in that. But so often we look at the fruit of other people and we get dissatisfied and we want their fruit instead of being satisfied with our own fruit. And what begins to happen is, how do I love my neighbor if I'm jealous for his fruit? How do I love my neighbor well if I'm jealous for what James has, or if what Rod has, or what Josh has? How can I love them well if I'm always concerned that maybe they have more than I have? And this, my friends, is not kingdom. This was never of what the kingdom was created to be. God created us, and the life of Jesus, and I can't go into all this, but just read the life of Jesus. He walked around confident. And you say, well, yeah, he's the Son of God. Why would he not be confident? Listen, we're created in his image. And the Holy Spirit that filled him with the power to do things is now inside of us. And he said, basically, you'll never be the full body unless you're all together. So the great thing is that I need Rod and Rod needs me. I need Josh and Josh needs me. I need James and James needs me. I need my wife and she needs me. We were never created to be alone. And what we have to learn to do, church, is we need to learn to realize what we are and what we have, not what we don't have. There will always be things that we're not good at. And we could try to spend a lifetime trying to work on all the things that we're horrible at. And you know what? Even science and the study of psychology is beginning, and leadership shows you, don't focus on what you're not. Focus on what you are. But unless you begin to get confident in who you are, you will never celebrate other people. You will never celebrate other people. One of the last things I want to share is when we come into an agreement, we empower whatever we agree with. I was thinking of that. Shout out to Len and Pam smoked ham. It's kind of like we're getting closer to that, Len. He's been smoking some meat and it's good. Sorry, I just got caught getting hungry there. it's good. I actually totally lost my thought. Oh, so he texted me one day. He said, hey, I'm going to cook up some bacon. Do you want some? The minutes I said, Len, I want some. I came into agreement with Len. And the minute I came into agreement with Len, I empowered him to get it ready for me. Every day in our thought process, that's why I started with Proverbs again, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Out of it spring forth the issues of life. If I am not careful, I will come into agreement and empower the wrong voice, which will create a wrong choice in my life. And if I live in that realm, I can never celebrate people because I'm always worried about what I'm not instead of what I am. And we live in a society of comparison right now on social media. And honestly, it's just gotten a little worse because everything is on social media. And so right now it's easy to click on after and go, how many likes did I get? How many followers did we have? What did we do right? Did we have a good look today? And you know what? We want to do things to excellence. But in the end, that's not what it's about. I need to be me. Rod needs to be Rod. You need to be you. And listen, women, man, you guys are incredible. If I could say anything, if I can download anything today, is we need to stop coming into agreement with the wrong voice. And you need to find some cheerleaders in your life that believe in you and will empower who you are and not empower what you're not. Because the minute you come into agreement with all that you're not, you get discouraged, you get shame, you get ashamed, you begin to blame people, you begin to get vindictive, you become a victim. Instead of going, you know what? I know what I'm not, but I know what I am. I know the gifts, God. Some of you can't do crafts to get out of a garbage bag, but man, you could cook up a meal that nobody else can. Is that even a saying? I just made that one up and they're laughing. Maybe you can. You know, I can't do crafts like Pastor Rod can. I look at his imagination. It's incredible. But you know what? There's things that I do that he can't. And I want to celebrate that. I just want to also, before I forget, you know, Abby, just bless you for coming in and doing prayer. So awesome to hear your voice. And you've been so faithful to come in and thank you, Cadence and Shane and Becca, when they came in to do worship. I got caught up with Cadence because I had Candace in my head, and turns out I asked her afterwards. She's like, people call me that all the time, and I hate it. I'm like, see, that's why I didn't say it. But it's funny how we get ashamed. I say that because I could kick myself after, and I did for a few seconds going, I can't believe I forgot somebody's name. You know, we need to learn to live in freedom. We live worried so often. I don't know about you. I'll just be real. I live sometimes worrying about what somebody else thought. And I didn't want to hurt somebody. That's horrible when you forget somebody's name. But when we begin to live out of the royalty that we are, there's going to be such freedom. I think the greatest thing that happened when Adam and Eve made that mistake is they realized what they lost. They realized what they lost. It's interesting. If you read a little bit over, Adam and Eve were supposed to guard the garden, and after they get kicked out, he actually has to send cherubim to guard or shemar the garden because they did not do their job. So my question today, church, is are you guarding the voices that try to tell you who you're not? Are you guarding your heart against the voices that continually try to tell you who you're not? And men, today is a great day for women that are moms and women in general to begin to be voices in their life and begin to say, you know what? I know you think of what you're not, but let me tell you who you are. Two important questions. Who is God and who are you? Who do you think you are and who do you think God is? And as men, you know what the greatest tragedy is in our lifetime? It's not the pandemic. One of the greatest tragedies in our lifetime is the lack of fathers in homes. Because one of the greatest things that fathers do, fathers speak identity over people. Fathers speak identity over their children. Even fathers speak identity over their wives. And because fathers have exited the homes, we've lost the voice to speak identity. And church, we need to become that voice again in a positive way and stop telling people what they're not. You know, religion wants to tell people, everybody, what they're not and what they need to be. But I'll tell you, God comes into our life and begins to speak what we are. Two last things, and I'm going to close. Two of my favorite verses. In Numbers, when they're about to take the promised land, this is Joshua, Caleb, and the other 10. This is one of my favorite quotes. It says, Numbers 13:33, we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we, listen to this, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Because of what they thought they were, that's what they were to their enemy. And I think so often the body of Christ, we look weak. It's not that we're not taking ground by overthrowing. We're supposed to be taking ground through confidence and knowing who we are. And because they were weak in their own sight, they were weak in the sight of their enemies. Judges 6:11-12, this is my other favorite one. This is Gideon. This is Gideon being scared out of his mind, trying to get some grain. And he's in a wine press doing grain. And he's scared, and he's worried, and he's afraid. And this is the opposite to what I just read. So we could be small in our own sight, but then the Lord shows up, and he looks at Gideon. So Gideon's like this, and he's scared. And the Lord shows up, and he says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And I can imagine Gideon going, "Who on earth are you talking about?" I want to tell you something. I'm so glad that the Lord speaks over us who we really are. Not what we think we are. We might be like, I'm a grasshopper in my own eyes. What I love is the Lord continually through prophetic words comes in and goes, no, 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 no. You are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of valor. So church, right now, to be strong and courageous, we need to listen to the right voice, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we need to listen. We need to listen to people in our lives that have our heart and that are guarding and protecting. And when we're down, they need to speak into our lives. You need to get away from anybody that kicks you when you're down. Listen, if somebody kicks you when you're down and speaks over negativity over you, you need to say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm not listening to your voice. You need to get around people and say, I need your voice in my life right now because I'm discouraged. I need you to speak. That's why God said it's not good for man to live alone. It's not just to be married. It's for us to have people to speak into our life and for iron to sharpen iron. So whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice, church, are you listening to? We want to grow out of listening to that voice that says, hey, 100 people said happy birthday, but why don't you focus on the two? No, set your mind. set your mind on things above. We love you. I'm so encouraged by who you are as a body, the maturity of our church. I'm so blessed. Women, thank you, Mom, for being a woman that paved the way to be a strong woman of God. Thank you, Krista, for being a strong woman of God. And I'm so thankful that my girls are growing up in a world where they know that they can be whatever God calls them to be, and they're not afraid. Thank you. Pastor Rod, do you have something you want to share? Absolutely. Pastor Rod's got a couple declarations. Thank you, church. Bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Well, let me just do a few declarations here over. And if what I'm going to do is I'll pause for a little bit, and then you can repeat them out loud where you are. You can go back and get them after. These are from Steve Backlund's book, Declarations. It's a fantastic resource. So here we go. I am a great parent. Okay, come on, say it out there. I am a great parent. Now, I love this one. I am full of vision and hope for my children. Okay, here we go. Number three. It is easy to teach my kids the ways and principles of the kingdom of God. Okay, now here's the fourth one. Communication is simple and clear between my kids and me. Now, you may have to say that one a few different times before we start to fully believe it, but let's say it again. Ready? Communication is simple and clear between my kids and me. Now, this is a good one. I have an abundance of solutions and wisdom for every situation that my family encounters. Now, I'll say it again with you. I have an abundance of solutions and wisdom for every situation my family encounters. I'll give you these last two now. My children feel safe, free, and loved in our home. Now, say it again with me. My children feel safe, free, and loved in our home. Now, the last one. I am raising up powerful world changers in my house. Say it again with me. I am raising up powerful world changers in my house. Well, we bless you today. I encourage you to take the time to connect with other moms, and maybe you know someone that will just need some encouragement. Really, our whole series is about strength and encouragement, and it's really courage comes from somebody else coming alongside of us and in encouraging and really just blessing us with a word today. So I encourage you to do that. Bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at AntiochCanada.ca.